Welcome back, Muhammad. I'm Calm, professional female, and today we're exploring Robert Greene's The Art of Seduction, not as a handbook for controlling people, but as a provocative study of attraction, charisma, performance, and interpersonal power. Greene presents seduction in a broad sense. It can involve romance, but it can also appear in leadership, advertising, friendship, entertainment, and professional life. The central question is how people capture attention, awaken curiosity, and create emotional experiences that others find compelling. That makes the subject worth examining, but also demands a critical eye. Influence can invite or pressure, connect or exploit, clarify desire or manufacture dependency. We'll consider the book's memorable character types as dramatic models rather than fixed identities. They highlight qualities such as confidence, charm, attentiveness, theatricality, freedom, and emotional presence. We'll also examine the so-called anti-seducer patterns, habits like self-absorption, impatience, insecurity, and disregard for another person's boundaries. These ideas can help us reflect on how attraction grows and why it sometimes disappears. Along the way, we'll explore attention, mystery, timing, social perception, and the power of making an interaction feel emotionally significant. Yet, we'll keep drawing an essential distinction. Healthy attraction preserves choice. Manipulation tries to bypass it. Ethical charisma expresses genuine qualities and respects another person's autonomy. Coercive influence conceals motives, exploits vulnerability, creates confusion, or treats resistance as an obstacle to overcome. That distinction matters in workplaces as much as in intimate relationships. Informal influence often travels through confidence, storytelling, reputation, selective attention, and control of the emotional atmosphere. Understanding those mechanisms can make us less susceptible to them while helping us communicate with greater presence and integrity. Greene's framework is deliberately theatrical, and some of its claims are sweeping. So the most useful approach is neither automatic admiration nor outright dismissal. Instead, we can ask what accurately describes human attention, what merely makes an engaging story, and what becomes ethically unacceptable when translated into behavior. As we begin, hold one question in mind. When someone feels irresistibly compelling, are we responding to who they genuinely are or to an experience they have carefully designed for us?